I couldn't get up the stairs because of my right knee being completely gone. And then I had that replaced, thankfully. And now my left knee is what I do right. I thank you for your prayers. I really do. It is in fact that I had a blood clot in my right thigh, and that has completely been resolved, and I have no more problems with blood clots at the moment, and I'm thankful to the Lord for that. When you have cancer and you have chemotherapy, unfortunately, you get left a nasty gift of blood clots forming because of your vascular system, as they explained to me. I'm not a doctor, but anyway, it is one of those deals. But God has been gracious and blessed me beyond imagination. I brought my grandchildren with me, and I'm thankful for them being able to come with me, and I'm thankful for your graciousness toward me and toward them that they can be with us. I love Krista, who don't seem to believe I'll remember her name. And there's Jillian, and of course Connor, and we're glad to be able to bring them with me. There is a thought about people falling away, and I want to be sure that we understand that what are the signs of Christians falling away. And it's important because we see our loved ones, our family, we see our children, we see different ones, and we begin to see things about them that give us an idea that perhaps the devil's gaining ground over them, and in fact they're losing their faith. And sometimes Christians lose their faith over other Christians who don't live right. And sometimes they lose their faith over the church, the local church. There's many things that cause people to lose their faith, but if they lose their faith, they lost it themselves. It's because they stopped believing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they stopped following him and putting him first. I can tell you that on the outset of this entire lesson that the single most telling sign of one falling away from the Lord is not how many times they miss services. That's not it. I'll tell you what it is. It's when they stop praying. When they stop praying, their faith is just about gone. If they don't depend on the Lord, then what do they depend on? Themselves or others. They're not depending on God. I know about depending on the Lord because I know when you go through illness and you go through different things that go wrong in life, and you have to remember that God is with us. He's for us. He's not against us. And you need to understand that there's no dark side to God, that God is loving and kind, and he wants us to do the right thing. And he gave his son and the blood of his own son so we could do the right thing. And so we of all people on earth are most blessed and happy and should be happy because of the forgiveness of our sins. But we don't deserve to have the forgiveness of our sins, but we've, in obedience to our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, we now enjoy the forgiveness of our sins. And if we walk in the light as he's in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 7 teaches us, we have fellowship one with another, that is with God, and the blood of his son Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And I like the word all because all means all. It doesn't mean just a few things. It's all. And that's a wonderful thought to know that you're forgiven of your sins. But Christians, look at Hebrews 6 verses 4 through 12. And you begin to understand this principle. This is a passage that Christians do not like to read. I have before had people come to me and said, I just don't like that passage. It worries me. And I said, well, it should worry you, but it does. It worries me because I sin, and then I sin again, and I ask God's forgiveness, and I sin again, and I'm afraid that that's me. I'm the one that's, I said, no, as long as you are of a mind and a heart, a tender heart, that you ask God's forgiveness, you're probably going to be okay. But it's when you stop asking for forgiveness that you're in trouble. And what happens is the devil will desensitize us to sin. In other words, we will not be sensitive to sin. It won't matter. It's as though it doesn't matter what we say or do, or how we dress, where we go, and the kind of life we live. And of course it does. It all matters very much. It says, if you will, here in Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 12, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him into open shame. The sixth verse tells us the problem. If they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. Because repentance is the key to all of this. In fact, if you'd obey the gospel, you must repent of your sins. You must repent of the life you're living and turn from the world and live that way no more. You need to understand these principles, because without these principles, there'll be no hope for you in this world or the next, quite frankly. If they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. I believe it's in this songbook, I'm the One. And I'm the One pretty well tells the story. It really does. And it's a very good song to sing because it tells the truth of the matter. And a lot of times people don't understand that, but they should listen. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessings from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to be cursed, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so it is that Hebrews 4, verses 4 through 12, that these are facts and they're not opinions. That's very important to remember that. A lot of people, when they read the Bible, they tend to have this tendency to think of it as an opinion. And it's not an opinion. In fact, if you've studied the Greek language, you know that in some cases these words carry with them what's called an imperative. That means they're commanded. A good example of that would be Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to him, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And when Paul said those things, I beseech you, I beg you, but he wasn't just asking for their agreement. Every word carries an imperative. It's a commandment. That's the problem with Christians many times, is why they're falling away, because they don't look at the Bible as a matter of commandment. I've had people tell me, why, when you preach the gospel, do you always have to be preaching commandment keeping? I said, because that's what the scriptures teach. They teach that we keep commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's what Jesus said. Now, that's not hard to understand, is it? Some people say, yeah, but it's not, well, what about love? If you love me, did you hear it? You'll keep my commandments. That is love. That's the love of God, if you keep his commandments. I hesitate to say it, but my mother says, son, take the garbage out, which was not one of the more favorite jobs that I had. Still isn't, but anyway. But they would say, I would say, well, okay, Mom, but then I didn't do it. And she would say to me, well, son, do you love me? And I said, well, yes, Mama, I love you. Then take out the garbage. I said, well, I don't love you that much. No. And I get slapped if I said that. I didn't say that, thankfully. My mother bought 2 Floss Waters metal ones a week. So, but I had a couple brothers. So it was for me too, by the way. But the thing about this is, though, is we need to understand that the love of God and the love of each other is that we watch for these signs, that we watch for these signs where people begin to fall away. And they're very subtle, sometimes very, very subtle. But some things that are not very subtle is when they stop reading their Bible. And it's not very subtle when they begin to seek wisdom outside of God's Word. And they're looking for human wisdom. That's not subtle. That becomes an obvious problem of faith. Because our faith is that which fortifies us. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Move on. Notice, if you will, what are the progressive signs? I'm going to call them that. They're progressive signs. They're not really evident at first. They're very slight. Unless you're really listening and paying attention to each other, you're going to miss it. You're not going to see it. The devil plans it that way. He wants to be sure that it's just not a real overly terrible thing that you're doing or not doing or forgetting, but yet you are forgetting. You're forgetting, like you forget to pray. Why would you forget to pray? I guess you think you're in control and you have everything under control. You don't. God is in control, and we trust in him, and we are dependent upon him. And if you're not dependent upon him and you don't trust in him, then you're at the mercy of the devil, which he shows no mercy at all. So that's how that works. Now, the thing about this is, what are the progressive signs? Well, there are clear biblical warnings that we're going to talk about. Christians, that they might understand, are with me, what has happened to their brethren, what has happened to their families, why has this happened? What of those Christians who have turned their back on God, on Jesus, and on His Word? What about them? Well, Hebrews 11, verse 6 tells me something that's very important. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, in the 6th verse, it simply and very simply says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That's please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You'll find the word godliness. What does it mean to be godly? Well, a lot of times we know what it means to be ungodly, but do you know what it means to be godly? The Greek word there just tends to just be translated. It's living your life or walking with a view that there is a God. So as you walk life's way, you know there's a God. You know He sees what you're doing. He hears what you're saying. He knows where you're coming. He reads your heart. He knows what you're thinking. You say, well, that's scary. Not if you're trying to do right. It's not. It's not. But some people don't think that way. I know that I've had some people that had attacked me about they were theist evolutionists. They believed that the 7 days of creation were not 24-hour days, but that they were millions and billions of years. And I said, no, that's not true. Go back to Genesis 1, and I'll show you why. But more than that, they said, well, I don't see that it really matters. It's one of those small points over in the Old Testament, and we're not in the Old Testament anyway, so what difference does it make? I said, I'll show you what difference it makes in Hebrews 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So much for evolution, so much for theist evolutionists, so much for any of them. Because we believe there's a God, and we believe His Word is not just life, but His power. We understand that He spoke light into existence. It's amazing to me that people who say they believe in God and believe in the power of God don't believe God has the power to get us a word we can all understand alike. I found that to be very interesting. Don't you? Because of course He can, and He has. He's spoken to us clearly in these last days through His Son Jesus, if you're listening. Had a conversation with a young man that was pushing my wheelchair as I was coming through the airport, and he said he was a Roman Catholic, and I said, okay. Well, I said, do you read the Bible? He says, no. I said, well, you're talking about Jesus, but you know who Jesus is? And he went, well, I think I do. I said, well, no, have you ever read the Gospels, the four Gospels? He said, no. I said, well, why don't you read that? Well, I don't get into controversy. I don't want to. And I thought to myself, but my friend, you say you believe in God, and you say that you know His Son Jesus, but you never read His Word. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I didn't quote that to him because he really wasn't listening to anything I was saying anyway, because after all, he was secure, he was comfortable, and I was taking him out of his comfort zone, which I do that to people sometimes. And he didn't like that. And I kept saying, but you need to read your Bible. Do you have a Bible? If I'd had a Bible, I'd given him one. I usually do that sometimes. I think that's a good thing to do. Ask him to read it. But in any event, this is the thing about this. And so we move on. What is Paul speaking of when he talks about one who has become a Christian that has fallen away here at Hebrews 6 and verse 6? Go back to Hebrews 6 and look at the 6th verse. What is he talking about? Who's he talking about? If they fall away, the 6th verse, and if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of Man, the Son of God, and put Him to open shame. Now the thing about these verses is that we've been conditioned, I guess, to think that it's somebody who doesn't come to services anymore. They've fallen away because they don't come to church. Of course, church is not the building, it's the church, the people. But we've missed the point, brethren, in this matter. We've missed the point completely. You could still come to this building and still haven't fallen away. Did you even know that that was true? Remember, as a young man attending a congregation, which I still consider to be a faithful congregation, from the standpoint of preaching the whole counsel of God, but they had a deacon, and the deacon there, and that doesn't make them wrong, but they had one of the deacons, and one of the deacons, he was the one that took care of all the finances. And this is certainly no bad thing against anyone here who serves as the treasurer, or is it? I don't think it's a deacon. But the thing about that is, though, because you know who the first treasurer was. It was Judas, so I don't know. Do you want to be the treasurer? That's not funny, actually. But the thing about it is, though, is that we find that people they forget what they're about, what is going on here. And this deacon, he would, while we were in Bible class, I don't know, I was a teenager, because I was in a teenager Bible class, giving my teacher lots of trouble, which is what I did when I was a teenager. But next to us was the room where they would count, you know, they did the attendance, and they didn't. There's nothing wrong taking attendance, that's fine. You know, but he was in there, and he also did the money, you know, and he had this, in all class time, he was counting up these numbers, here's a machine, you know, calculator. All during class, and what we were saying was, I thought he was a Christian. He says he's a deacon, and all he does, he doesn't even study the Bible even when he comes. And then later on, we found out that this same deacon, not to rag on this deacon, but the truth was, is that his teenage son had not obeyed the gospel, not become a Christian. And so he told his teenage son, who was 15, he said, unless you obey the gospel, I won't let you get your license to drive. Wow. Isn't that special? I don't think it was about obeying Jesus. I think it was about appearance. I think a lot of times people think about the church as just a matter of appearance. Well, appearing before God is an important thing, and appearing before Jesus Christ is an even more important thing. But the thing is, it's not about a facade. It's not about that. That's not what this is about. This is about commitment. In fact, this is really more than commitment. It has to do with conviction, which I find a lot of Christians who think they're committed, but they're really not convicted. Not really. Because when push comes to shove, who's going to be left out in the rain when it comes to this life and Jesus Christ the Lord? And so I tell the old story of the young boy whose mother gave him two quarters. Here it comes. Two quarters. And she said, now boy, one of these quarters is for the Lord, and the other quarter is for the plate. For ice cream. Oh, yeah, ice cream, that's right. And so Sonny rolled around, and the boy passed the plate to the boy. The boy, he didn't put anything in. Well, mother's mad. She gets in the elbow, and she gets him outside. Boy, didn't I give you two quarters? And he said, yes, ma'am. Yes, you did. He said, well, son, what happened? He said, well, mama's like this. You know those two quarters you gave me? Of course, she knows already. But he says, how do you know those two quarters? He said, well, I was going to wash my hands. I've laid them up in the lavatory. And I washed my hands. And Mom, in the middle of that, one of the quarters got knocked down the drain. Guess whose quarter it was? Now that, my friend, is what's happening. Whose quarter is it? And whose life is it? You think your life belongs to you, don't you? But it doesn't. It never has. My life does not belong to me. I don't belong to myself. I've taken on so many hats, I don't know who I am. Ask anyway, I can't remember my name. The thing about it is, though, is that this is what happens to you in life. You get busy and you forget who you belong to. You belong to the Lord. And when people who are Christians, supposed to be Christians, forget who they belong to, then they forget how they ought to be acting, or how they should not be, the things they should be doing or not doing, how they ought to be dressing, how they're not dressing. They ought to be thinking about the thing, but they're not thinking about that because that's somebody else. That's always for somebody else, don't you know? And when I was a gospel preacher, stand and claim the gospel of Christ, and I get to the back and somebody shakes my hand and said, well, you really got him. That was a great lesson. I said, well, the lesson was for me. I don't know. What do you mean I got them? What in the world? Maybe I was talking to you. Oh, no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I call these shotgun lessons. They kind of go out there and just hit whatever. You used to preach lessons like that, Chris. But now, let's move on. Are they falling or have they failed? Have they hit the bottom yet? We kind of have some ideas about these words, and I wonder how scriptural they are. I know they're scriptural because it says if they fall away. But you notice that when you fall away, we're encouraged by verses in the Revelation. There's an encouraging thing here. Listen to it. Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5. In fact, I'm going to turn there and just read it. It's up on the board. We'll just read that. Look at Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5. In the church of Ephesus. Therefore, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And people don't repent anymore because they don't think they're wrong. And they don't think they're wrong because they're measuring themselves by the world and by the things of the world and human wisdom. They're not measuring themselves by the Scriptures, and that's why this is happening. And that's why you can't tell when people are falling away, because they no longer read the Bible, nor do they make the application. Now go to a Church of Christ that's supposed to be faithful, and you've got the preacher up, and he's preaching and preaching and preaching, but he not one time to use half a dozen Scriptures, and if he does, he makes no application whatsoever. Well, what's happening in those churches? Some people starving to death. Don't you see that? Of course, you should read your Bible at home anyway, whether you read it here or not. You should read the Bible for yourself. But the problem is, though, is that these brethren have lost their way because they don't know the way. They don't even know their Bible anymore because no one's required it of them. I mean, I have Bible classes back home, and sometimes I say, okay, we're going to have a final. If you fail, you lose your soul. No. So they laugh. They think, you know what? You think I'm the only one who has to remember these things? What about you? Well, you're a preacher. Well, that's what we pay you for. Okay. That's a little weird. People don't understand the importance of holding to God's word. And that's why, but he says, but remember before from where you left your first love. Remember before where you've fallen, he says. Repent and do the first works, or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. There's all kinds of examples I could use, and we'd be here too long if I used them all, of all the different signs of falling away, because there are really a lot of them, quite frankly. But we're not really looking for that in ourselves. If you ever stop to think this lesson is really not about your brother or sister in Christ, it's about you. Do you realize when you're falling away? That's what would be the most important thing this morning for you to take away from this lesson, that you see when you're falling away and if you're not. Because I'm hoping that brethren around you love you enough to come to you and say something to you when they see you're falling away. But lots of times that's not how the church is. They don't see themselves as a family. They don't see themselves as those who depend on each other. What they're doing is they're looking for just a place to go so they can take care of business and then go eat roast after, at the lunch. I grew up in the church. I know how this is. Some of the weakest members in the church are those who grew up in it. You do know that, don't you? They took it for granted. They never paid a dime. They never paid the loss of family when they came out of a denomination or came out of the Catholic Church, where they were just shunned and done away and just kicked out of their family because they came to serve the Lord, came to serve Jesus. They have great strength and they understand what this is about. But those who don't think it's just a social club. And brethren, we should not be just playing church. We should be those who are the servants of the living God. We're the ones that stand up, and we're the ones that shine out to the world, at least our own family, at least our own children. We should be doing what is right in the sight of the Lord, not just for ourselves, but for them too. How will they know what's right if they never see it? I ask you that question. How does one know they have fallen away, or what are the signs to look for when a Christian has fallen away? Well, the Scriptures only deal with the situation in which a Christian has already fallen away. Did you notice that? They've already fallen away. Did you notice that in the Scriptures? From the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. But didn't Jesus say, for with God nothing will be impossible? Didn't Jesus say that in Luke 1 verse 37? Of course he said that. Nothing's impossible with God. But there's some people it's impossible with them because they will not repent. Because they don't even know what repentance even means. Because it's always somebody else's fault. We live in a society where you're taught to blame somebody else. We're in a society where families play the blame game day in and day out. And not a soul stands up and takes responsibility for what's wrong and what's happening in this place. It's so much easier to attack the preacher or attack the elders if you have them. It's so much easier to attack those members who are Bible class teachers or strong. It's easier to attack them because, after all, aren't they a target when they stand up and they make a statement for the Scriptures? That's why I'm not a teacher, because I've never, that's strict judgment, so I don't know. And yet, I read in Hebrews 5 and verse 12, by now you ought to be teachers, and you have need that someone teach you the first principles of the oracles of God, how to eat of milk and not solid food, for solid food belongs to those who by reason of use, the mature, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And a teenage boy comes to their mother and father who are supposed to be Christians, and they say, well, I want to go over here because my friends are doing this. And you'll say, well, Christians don't do that way. And no, we're not going to do that. I know my own children came to me one time and said, Daddy, we want to go to a concert. I went, oh my. See, I grew up in the 60s. I know what concert meant. Funny smelling weed was going through the air at those concerts. Didn't go to those concerts. Thank you. I didn't have enough money, actually. That's the reason why. But anyway. But the thing was, though, and I'd say, well, no, you're not going. And they go, why? They're letting them go down the street. They were our friend, let them go. And I said, yes, I know that. Well, then what's the problem? Problem is they're not my children. My children will not go there. Because that's not a good place to go. Now, why should I say that? Because I'm mean and nasty. Everybody knows I'm like that. He's just like that. Won't go along, get along, won't do, you're right, I won't. Because souls are worth more than that to me. They mean more. So anyway, that's what I do. Maybe you do something different. But I hope that you don't. I hope you'll. The signs of falling away from the Lord. Well, the falling away don't see that they have fallen away. That's number one. They don't realize they've fallen away. Allen, I like to use the plumber Allen, a member of the church, was a deacon actually in a local church. And the local preacher there and myself went to visit Allen because Allen had missed a month of Sundays. And we went out to see him. And before we even got out of the car, he was rushing out of his house and running down the stairs toward us. I thought, well, I don't know. He's either going to attack us or he's going to shake our hand. I don't really know which it's going to be. And he came, but it was neither one. He was crying. He said, oh, brothers, I know why you're here. I know why you're here. I know I missed all those services. I know it's wrong. I repent of that. I really do. But you have to understand that I've got some terrible debts. I've got some horrible debts. And I'll never, I'll tell you what, just let me work another month of Sundays, and those debts will be paid, and then I will serve the Lord. I will be there every time the doors are open, and I will serve the Lord. And it will be wonderful what I will do for God. And the preacher, he said to him, and I was shocked because I didn't realize, the preacher there, he said, Brother Allen, he said, you'll never come back. And Allen said, what do you mean? Are you calling me a liar? I mean, I just told you. I just have to get this one month out of the way. So he said, no, you don't understand, Allen. The devil will never let you pay those debts off. He never will. Because every time you turn around, it'll be another debt. It'll be another distraction. It'll be something else. It'll always be something else. Don't you see that? Well, we have Aunt so-and-so. She came from out of town. I know she came at 5 o'clock right before services start, but we haven't seen her in 50 years, and I don't know why. Maybe one service wouldn't matter. After all, the brethren would understand, but the question is, would God understand? And more than that, would the aunt understand that you'd put her above the Lord? How are you trying to teach her the truth when you're acting like she's more important than the Lord? Well, this, you just hate that aunt, don't you? No, that's not the aunt. I love the aunt. The aunt needs to learn the truth. She's not a Christian. How will she learn that? By you putting her above that which is God has put forth to you. What? But I'm not falling away. Oh, no, of course not. You know, whenever it comes up, I had a guy one time, he's a member of the church, and he said he was a lawyer. I don't know how he was lawyering in the church, but he was a lawyer. And he was in the church, and he seemed to be faithful to me, knew his Bible. And so, but he had this flaw, and his flaw was that he loved to play chess. I love to play chess too, but that's not what I'm talking about. He'd go down to Austin and sign up for the chess tournaments, and he was an excellent player. He'd win trophies and tournaments, and then all of a sudden they switched over. It's going to be on Sunday. And then all of a sudden he was having to leave right before he got the trophy because he's going to church. And so finally he reasoned, this was his reasoning, well, you know, it's not like it's my habit. That's what he told me. It's not like it's my habit. I just do it once a year. I said, and brother, how many years have you done it? Well, about 12. Sounds like a habit to me. I mean, well, Dennis, you're just so unreasonable. I said, I know, it's awful, isn't it? Because after all, you know, if I have to go, you have. That's what people think. Sad. The falling away don't seek to go back the way they came through the Word. They don't. Because after all, they're already saved and everything's good. And that's not true at all. They're lost and don't even know it. And the falling away are not falling away. They have fallen away and do not seek repentance from anything. They are convinced that they're right. And that's one of the grave problems about living a Christian life, falling away, is that you begin to think you're right. The self-righteous are the hardest of all to reach. In over 40 years of preaching, I've seen this over and over and over again. Those who think they know, and they say, well, I know better than you. I said, you may well know better than me, but I know what the Bible teaches, and you're not doing it. And they say, well, you're just not giving me a chance. I said, what do you mean I'm not giving you a chance? It seemed like the Lord died for you so you'd have a chance. Now, what are you doing the chance? 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9 through 12. Watch this. He says, the coming of the lawless one is according to this working of Satan. This is 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. They didn't love the truth. Well, who might that be in the congregation that doesn't love the truth? Those who don't practice it. That's who those who love it. If you love it, you do it. If you don't, you don't. It's just simple, really. Very simple. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion. That's what he's of these people who don't love the truth. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie and that they all may be condemned. That's what the New King James, the Old King James said, that they might be damned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They did not, listen to it, who do not believe the truth. Well, I believe the truth. I said, really? I couldn't tell by the short shorts you're wearing. I really couldn't tell by the many times you've left the services, and I don't know what you're doing. I guess I'm not supposed to know, but I said, but what's more important than being here with us? What would be more important than being with us every night of this week, brethren? People will have obligations. I understand that. Work, there'll be things they cannot avoid. I understand that. But you know what? Shouldn't you ask your neighbor if they want to come and hear God's word? Because I'll tell you what. That's what this is about this week. And you say, well, I've heard brother say, well, Dennis, I'm really afraid to bring my friends because I'm afraid you'll turn them off. You'll offend them. I said, well, if they're offended by the Bible, then they're going to get offended. I mean, that's what it's going to be. Because without God's word, they have no hope. They don't know where they're going. They don't even know who they are. They don't even know what they even believe, do they? You know they don't. It's interesting to me that, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perished because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They didn't receive it. You understand? And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion. Well, I thought God wanted to be saved. Well, God gave evidence of that with the giving of his own son on the cross, who died for our sins, died for the sins of the whole world. But if you not obey him, then you're done. And the truth of the matter is that people don't believe that. God didn't really mean what he says. You think? He most certainly does believe. He most certainly means exactly what he says. There'll be a lot of people who line the walls of hell who thought that he didn't mean what he said. And I guarantee he means exactly what he says. I was forced in this world to have a father, my father, who disciplined me, spanked me, beat me, I guess. You know, that's okay, whatever you want to call it. But the fact of the matter is, it's because he wanted me to grow up and be okay and be right. He wasn't even a Christian, but he knew what was right and he knew what was wrong. And I'm thankful for that. But the truth of the matter is that we have generations of people who are no longer being raised by their parents, not even their grandparents anymore. It's getting that bad, brethren, in our society. And someone will say to me, well, Dennis, nobody really lists the gospel anyway. And I say, well, of course not, because nobody's speaking it. Nobody's preaching it. You can't hear what's not being said. Are you ashamed of the gospel? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Well, you're a preacher, you're not supposed to be. No. Are you ashamed of the gospel? You shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 26 through 31. We read that a while ago. For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, and the key to this is the knowledge of the truth. You receive the knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. We go back to Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14. You see that the mature are those who by reason of use, application, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Well, why is that such a big deal? What's the big deal about knowing good from evil? Well, let's see. Let's start from the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Seems like that was a big deal, wasn't it? What did the devil lie to Eve about? Well, he knows that the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be open, and you'll be as wise as him. Well, it's true. They would know good from evil, but they wouldn't know it, what they were learning from the devil. The devil's not the teacher. God is. And they lost their souls. They lost their lives in the process and lost our lives too. Because we inherit the consequences of your sins and not the sin. That's the problem. We face death for this reason. But if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation will devour the adversaries. Anyone who rejects Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. I never have known how to really explain this, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. But I do know that that about a year ago, I had a cup of coffee in my hand, and I was stepping off a step that I thought was not that deep, but it actually was. And so on my way down, I threw the coffee away. But the thing that went through my mind was how much it was going to hurt when my face hit that asphalt. Because I've done that before. But I thought, I don't want to do this again. I don't like that. But that's kind of like this, see. You know what's right and wrong. What in the world? Don't you know there's consequences? Of course, there's always consequences, but nobody seems to say anything about them. I preach about them. I like that preacher gets up and says, brother, I'm just going to tell you right now that you just need to be careful about sinning. Just to be careful, because if you're not, you might go to hell. Never told you what sin was. Never told. No. You see, there's the problem. People don't know enough scripture to know that he's not preaching the Bible. That's the problem. And that's scary. Well, okay, so we go ahead. We've read it already. So, and the fearful expectation, and of course, the fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Romans 1, 28 through 32. And even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Debased mind, that just means a counterfeit mind. Doesn't mean a reprobate mind, is what the King James Version says. That's what my grandma used to say. That old man is an old reprobate. He drinks, he's drunk, and he doesn't take care of his family. He's just a reprobate. But that's not what reprobate means. It means a debased mind, and that means it's a counterfeit mind. It's a mind that thinks it's okay. And that's what he's saying. God gave them over to a counterfeit mind, a mind that says it's okay to do those things which are not fitting. And then, and the last verse, 32nd verse, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Is that you? Is that what you do? I hope not. Ah, the word we're looking for. Romans 1, 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Because after all, everybody does it. Everybody's doing it, so it must be okay. And their standard of truth becomes their neighbors and friends. It becomes whoever they listen to, not God's word. Not God's word. And that, my friend, is the problem. And of course, as we read in Hebrews 6, verse 4 through 6, it is impossible to renew to repentance those who were once enlightened, who tasted the heavenly gift, who shared in the Holy Spirit, who taste God's good. You know what sharing the Holy Spirit, don't you? Holy Spirit's a teacher. Holy Spirit teaches us through these words. You knew what was right. A lot of times, you know what, in this society, we think, if there's enough education, we have enough, they'll all succeed. They'll all succeed. That's not true. That's not true. You got to know how to make the application. Isn't that right? And isn't that the problem? That is the problem. Buying books in school, whether you eat the covers right off. I'm telling you, that's what happens. You want them to get experience without getting experience. What you want them to do is to somehow we'll get this thought, and this, we're so much wiser than others. Let me tell you something. He who thinks he knows is yet not known as he ought to know, and he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Those are the things that Paul said. I read all that. The point of this lesson is that by the time you realize someone's fallen away, they're usually already gone. Have you not noticed that? And where the church becomes involved in this is discipline. And the church is to practice discipline according to the Scriptures. Now we know Galatians 6, 1. We know that if any brother is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness and meekness. Look at yourself, lest you also be tempted. We understand that, okay? If they're overtaken in a trespass. And of course, this is the problem, and has been all along, that we're looking for God to do everything, and that's not going to happen. He's already done what he's going to do. Our part is now that we watch and love our brethren, and we tell them when they're wrong and tell them when they're right and help them to see the truth of the matter. And if you really love me, you'll tell me the truth. And the preacher is going to stand there with nice platitudes and nice, lovely stories and funny, you know, but I'll tell you what, he won't do it. What he's going to do is he's going to take the Bible, and the Bible's not going to be very pleasant sometimes. Sometimes it'll be very pleasant, but sometimes it's not pleasant. But you've got to know the difference, and you've got to understand what the Bible even says, because I've got news for you, neighbor. The preacher will lead you astray. I'm standing here as a preacher, and I'm telling you, I will lead you astray if you don't read your Bible for yourself. Oh, Dennis, you're a nice guy. You wouldn't do it. What? You don't know I'm a nice guy. I might be out for your money. You really don't know me. The thing about it is you do need to know the Lord and know his word. Then you can tell what kind of guy I am, okay? You might still not know. I don't know. But, you know, but the thing is, I say to you, follow the scriptures. If you're not a New Testament Christian, it's because you decided not to follow Jesus. It's just that simple. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. To love Jesus is to obey him. That's what he is. He died as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And he is the only one that can add you to the church, because those were, and the Lord asked them daily, those who are being saved, Acts 2 and verse 47. But more than that, though, is that as a Christian, we're living a certain way, and we're an influence on everyone around us, especially older Christians to younger Christians. We're an example to them. Well, I didn't ask them to look at me. Doesn't matter. They do. They do. They watch you. I know when I was a child, I watched the members. I knew when people weren't there. In fact, I told some, well, what happened to them? Well, we never thought they'd make it anyway. I thought, that can't be right. And it wasn't right. We knew our neighbors. We knew who we were as members of the church. We knew the elders. The elders knew us. We knew the preacher. The preacher knew us. We talked. We communicated. We were excited about Bible study. And I don't think people are getting excited about Bible study anymore. Why is that? Why is that? I got enough of that at church. Who needs that? Brothers and sisters, if you're just studying enough to fill in the blanks and not your heart, you're starving to death spiritually. And if you as a Christian are not living right, then you need to repent of that. If you're sinning, if you're in sin, repent of that. If it's a public nature, let's pray with you and for you, that you might be strengthened. And you've not obeyed the gospel, let's tell you something. It's a wonderful thing in the world to be a Christian. I don't know what you've seen or what you think a Christian is, but I guarantee you, it's the greatest life on earth. There is no greater life than this. To live for Jesus, that's what this is about. And without that, you're living for the devil. I know the opposite of this. He says, you're either with me or you're against me. You either gather with me or scatter. That's what Jesus said. I don't want to serve the devil. I've served the devil before, quite frankly, sadly to say, because I was duped by the devil, but not anymore. I know who he is. I know what he does. And I'm telling you this morning that if you know who Jesus Christ is and you believe him to be the Son of God, then what you need to do is you need to repent of your sins, and that means come follow Jesus with all your heart, mind, and soul, and confess him with your mouth as the Son of God and be buried in water baptism for the remission of your sins. And you're not doing it for your mother and father. You're not doing it for the church. You're not even doing it for me. You're doing it for yourself. Because you're the one who will be held responsible in the judgment day for what you do or don't do. That's what's going to happen. What's your need this morning? Won't you make it known while we stand and while we sing? Won't you